Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Ooh, I was having a moment when I was listening to my son's song. He wrote that, sang it, and you know, it's this moment where I was just feeling, I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to share with you, to share with my audience, and I have a wonderful guest on today, and I'm just all filled up with with the universe and the moment. So please excuse me for a second because, it has to be all this great energy that is culminating with my audience and my guests, and I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. Woo, so let me take a couple deep breaths and compose myself. What did they say? The show must go on. welcome everyone to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and if you're a new listener, and I have so many new listeners, thank you and welcome to the show. Some of you are probably like, what the hell, Reality Spirituality, what kind of show is this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion, it's a guide to living connected to a powerful energy source, in fact, the only energy source. Some people use the term God, Buddha. I use the term universe. It's all the same, but living connected in every moment. And our relationship, or my relationship with the universe, is different than your relationship with the universe. So what I want to remind my audience is if you feel a connection, or if you feel that this is true for you, yes, but everything that I say has to do with my experiences and what I have been taught and what I have been shown. So know that you are on your own journey. I like to say we are as different as our fingerprints, and we are. And our relationship with the universe is just as unique and just as different. So know that you are special. You are unique. You are on a journey of discovery, a journey of evolution, a journey of growth. And relax with it all. No, I don't have all the answers for you. I have answers for me, and the universe actually speaks to each one of us individually. So I just wanted to share that. Now, what else is Reality Spirituality? Reality Spirituality focuses on our everyday life experiences, because it's our everyday life experiences and our responses to these experiences that's going to determine what kind of journey we are experiencing. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. That's my favorite quote from Abraham. And this show dissects our everyday life to the smallest, to the least common denominator, to determine why we're not as happy as we could be. And when I say happy, I mean an internal contentment, an internal knowing, knowing that everything is in order, this internal temperature gauge, if you will, of that's going to be set at peace and happiness and contentment. Everything is in order. The universe does not make any mistakes. And with all of that said, I want to welcome my special guest, Reverend Michael Jones. Michael Jones has been involved in individual and group development, leadership, and coaching for over 25 years. Jesus, he looks so young. His teaching style is known for shedding light on spiritual and mystical insights in a profound, focused, and clear manner. He's an ordained spiritualist minister and a founding member of Spirit Source, an organization dedicated to providing spiritual guidance to those on a path of self-discovery. Hey, I need to be in that organization. Michael writes, he teaches classes, he hosts workshops on a variety of spiritual topics, including topics shared in his book. His book is The Seven Victories of the Divine Child, Claiming Your Divine Inheritance. Don't you love that title? And with further ado, we're going to bring on Michael. Welcome, Michael, to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show.
Well, good morning. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Yes, yes. Well, let's start at the beginning because, of course, we're not going to go all the way back, but everyone has a beginning, the journey where, because I was looking on your website and you said your spiritual journey started at 14. Well, you got a head start on me because mine really started in my 40s. So give me a little bit of background of knowing that your spiritual journey started at 14. What?
Well, that was, I would thank my father for that, of having me, you know, think about things and sharing spiritual concepts with me at such a young age. Of course, you know, I don't know how much stuck back then, but one of the things he did have me do was to learn what I call today inspirational writing. And that was being able to clear my mind, learning how to slow my mind down, clear it, and being able to just write. You know, I think a lot of people call that journaling. But just write of, you know, whatever comes. And I did that for a while, but of course at 14 or, you know, then as your early years, you know, you're growing up and learning how to drive and all those things take priority in school and whatnot. So I would say I took a break from doing a lot of that until I was probably in my mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. And in that period, you know, you're starting a family and getting married and starting a family and all the things that come with growing up, I didn't feel, you know, I would say what I call the pull for that work in that time, but I really felt it in the late 20s, and that's probably when I came back to revisiting in a very serious way my own spirituality and then also rekindling with what he taught me with his inspirational writing.
How interesting. And so was there something specific that brought you back? Because I'm just going to share a little bit of my journey. I'm always, my whole life, I ask for two things, to live to my potential and to be happy. And this being happy was really a feeling that I wanted to feel all the time. I wanted to feel good all the time. And that's what really drove me and trying to find that good feeling and looking for it in trips, husbands, where am I living, bank account, all of that, you know, trying to feel good, especially, you know, vacations, looking for that or wanting that feeling. So what was it what can you relate to that? What was it that?
Well, yeah, I can certainly relate to it. I think it's not uncommon that, you know, many of us seek, you know, I'll say a quick fix of happiness or whatever you call it, joy or something in these temporary modes, you know, of our life. And when we have a few experiences that those temporary things are removed, you know, whether we don't have the money anymore, or a relationship falls apart or something, then we, you know, we get this little kind of wake-up call and say, hey, you know, those things we kind of maybe thought were going to bring some happiness, they were really a fleeting moment. I wouldn't say I had an experience, although I've had experiences like that, those aren't the experiences that brought me kind of back to my original you know, spiritual path. I would say for me, and this really manifests, I observe in people I work with quite differently, but for me, I call it a magnetic pole. It's like this pole in your solar plex, right in your soul, that says, hey, you know, it's kind of like a wake-up call, a little knock on the door, and I don't know if that spirit's saying, hey, it's time to get back at it or what, but there was this really deeper meaning, this really missing deeper connection with something greater than myself that I felt, and it really tugged. And it feels like you're homesick. You know that feeling in your gut when you're homesick?
No.
It was like that.
I said no. I don't know that.
Oh. Well, you know,
I'm actually joking.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that wasn't funny to you.
No, it was, but I thought I needed to explain it. So
and one of the things that I'm loving about this conversation is just like I said in the beginning, we're all so different but we're all on the same kind of journey to find this home. But go back to your homesick. I love that. I love that vision. And I mean, I like that analogy. I like that. You felt homesick. That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, and, you know, in the beginning, I think sometimes we feel something like that, but it's really hard to get your finger on, you know. It's like I think people describe it as there's something missing in my life or I have a hole inside or, you know, it's hard to kind of get your arms around because it's very, you know, it's very subjective. So what I did then is I went back. I was raised Catholic, and although I haven't been a practicing Catholic since my early 20s, I really valued, you know, the experience. But that wasn't the answer for me personally. So what I did is continue to just absorb myself in different traditions, different religious traditions. What I always knew at a young age was that there's silver threads of truth that run through world teachings and sacred scriptures and, you know, our world leaders, from the Buddha to the Christ and Krishna. And if you really absorb yourself in some of that, you start to see these silver threads of truth running through those. And those started to form for me a basis of what I felt inside was where I, you know, where I needed to go. It ignited me, you know, it excited me. And I wanted, I wanted to be able to, you know, unravel some of these, what I call divine mysteries, a little bit more and more. So I would say then what started is I started back to this writing intensely. This is about, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe, and it started off just writing to myself. And, you know, what's amazing is I would write, and then a couple days later I would read it, and I would be like, wow, I don't even remember writing this. And it doesn't even sound like me, and it's amazing. And wow, you know, the depth of spiritual teachings that were kind of coming through were just—I mean, I would just, you know, be almost speechless because I'd be like, I still reread it. I'm like, wow, this is good stuff, but I don't remember writing it. And That's kind of not feeling, you know.
That's so interesting because the universe was just riding through you and you were inspired and you were in the moment and you don't even remember writing. I love that story. But before we go on, I want to add that people can call in live. We're live at area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619. And you said that that was about 10 years ago that you were writing when you discovered this 10 years ago, not discover this, but when you were writing and you felt like this, you didn't even remember writing it?
Yeah, and so I'll kind of draw this to the longer story to a close. So it was really for my own development. I mean, I never, this is the interesting thing, is I never really started intending to write a book. I didn't know I was going to head that direction, but these were for me, you know, for my own guidance, you know, my own growth. And what I realized then after about 2 years, and this is several notebooks later, mind you, of doing this is in one particular time I sat down, I started writing Roman numerals like we would write if we were writing an outline.
Mm-hmm.
And what became of that particular, you know, inspirational writing session was an outline. And when I looked at it, I realized, oh my gosh, this is an outline for a book. In one sitting, I had the complete outline for the book, of which, of course, I had already written unknowingly some of the material for.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was, you know, really interesting. And, you know, in probably the next, I'm going to guess, 6 years, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know when the starting point was, because I didn't know I was writing a book in the very beginning. But probably for the next 6 years, it took just to kind of fill in, you know, the meat on the bones of the balance of the book that is now, as you mentioned earlier, The Seven Victories of the Divine Child.
Interesting. So give us a little bit, what the seven victories of the divine child, what are the seven victories?
Well, the book is laid out in a way that begins to unravel, as I'll say, myths and misconceptions in the early part of it, you know, really kind of unraveling what are beliefs, you know, why do I believe what I believe, how do beliefs come into, you know, how do beliefs form in our lives? Because I think oftentimes we have things we believe, but we never question them.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really realize how they got there. But in the core of the book is, first of all, I'll say the divine child, just so I'm clear, is everyone. It's you. It's me. It's every listener on the call. Each one of us is the divine child. Each one of us is this divine creation, the spirit inside of a human body that I'm talking about. So this is seven victories of you and I. This is seven victories of each of us. And mm-hmm. and that's why in one of the parts I say, well, it's like a life manual of sorts for us, you know. But the seven victories, and these are at high level, you know, single or double words, and then, of course, it goes into detail, but the seven are these: joy, freedom, service, love, power and God's will, life eternal, wisdom and thought. And, of course, then each of those has three or four, I call them battles and victories between these two components of all of us that I, you know, this higher part of us, this higher self and this lower ego self is this little battle, a war that's being waged within each of us every day.
Mm-hmm.
And how to move and how to think about those and how to move from, you know, from one end into another, how to it's about transformation and transformation in thought mostly, because energy follows thought, and everything begins with a thought. Every part of creation begins with a thought, and so it really works on perception, because I say perception is everything. I had the opportunity to listen to a show of yours one or two times ago, and I think, Rebecca, you shared a similar thing, is perception is everything.
Yes, yes. Well, what I say on my show is that there are 360, and the 360 is represented by a complete circle. 360 ways to look at the same issue, to look at the same problem, if you will, to look at the same circumstance, the same event. There are 360 ways. Now, it's interesting. I had a woman on the show yesterday. I don't know if you listened, but she called in for assistance. She wanted my help, or she wanted my advice. And she was in a spot where she was in a place where she said that she was dissatisfied, she was disillusioned, blah blah blah, on and on and on. And I said, is there any way that you can look at the same situation that you're in differently? Is there any way that you can look at it differently than what you're looking at it now? And she answered me, No. So with that, then, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? What do I do with that? What do I do with that? And what happened was she got frustrated and she hung up the you know what? Let me say, I don't know if she was frustrated, but she definitely hung up the phone. And it is about looking at the same issue. You can find one different perspective to look at the same issue that's going to make you feel good, right?
Well, it's true. You know, that's that change in perspective is going to come one of two ways, and you were addressing both. One was internally. You know, we're going to do that for ourselves. We're going to ask ourselves a different set of questions to allow us to shift perspective. Or it's going to come externally to ourselves in the form of another person, a friend, a coach, you know, a partner, whoever. And sometimes it's them as. So, you know, it comes one of two ways. But we get stuck sometimes. And what you're, you know, that's exactly what came to mind for me is the person was just plain stuck. And, you know, we all get stuck from time to time in our lives. And I think every listener can relate to that. But, you know, it's not that. It's how do we get unstuck? And what you just shared, I'll put into to my words, and you helped by doing this. As I said, there's great power in asking self-imposed questions to to ourselves. And what you did is, of course, you asked a question she could have asked herself, or any one of us could have, but, you know, we get stuck, so we need someone else. But it was there was great power in that simplicity of that question. Now, you know, sometimes it may take a while to sink in, and maybe it's a week from now that they kind of start to maybe look at it a different way and even consider that they could look at it a different way because they get stuck in that mindset. But yeah, that's a great example. But there is power in self-imposed questions, and I will say, since I kind of opened that can of worms, is that the self-imposed question should never start with the word why. Asking self-imposed questions with the word, beginning with the word why, is asking an unanswerable question. And your mind will try to go seek it out, but it won't find an answer. It'll just run in circles. So I encourage people, if they're asking these, this question should start with the word what or how.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. There is a time in my life where I always wanted to know why and why. But it was a question that I asked myself for my own, you know, why is the universe, why am I experiencing this? And the answer is always the same, but I totally get what you're saying. The answer for me is always the same. It's for my betterment. It's for my growth. It's for my evolution. That's why, yeah?
Yeah.
But I get what you're, I totally get what you're saying, not to ask why. If because let me say what I've discovered is the universe is the most illogical, don't make sense, can't figure it out. Why am I even trying to figure out why? So I get what you're saying. I totally get it.
Yeah. You know, we all want to know why. I mean, that's why it's almost always the first question.
So what do you think about my answer about why it's because it's for my betterment? Why it's because it was everything that's happening is for the good, for my good. That's why.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the answers we give ourselves or others, and in this case your answer, or the questions we even ask ourselves, say a lot to me about my current state of awareness. So, you know, my current, you know, I use state of consciousness, my current level of consciousness. So, you know, for you to say your answer for you was, for my betterment, wow. I mean, my answer to that is wow, and it really speaks to your current level of awareness, you know, because if you rewind the tape, because we all grow, so if you rewind the tape, there was probably a point in your life where you asked the same question and you would have given yourself a different answer.
Well, of
and
course.
Because you've grown.
Listen. Yeah, that's it. Well, thank you for that. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you, I don't know if you, well, I don't know how long you've listened, but my mother, I know this is a, this, I've been saying this forever, but my mother disinherited me back in 2006. And in 2006, I sure didn't think that was for my betterment.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long after, like a year after, maybe a year and a half, I definitely knew that it was, definitely knew. So, yeah, thank you for that. And anyway, we had a couple people on that wanted to ask questions, and then they like, remember I told you about the question mark, so they really don't want to ask questions right now. We have the chat room open, and I've made the invitation or gave out the invitation to ask questions. If you want to ask or call in, the number is area code 646-564-9619. One of the things I want to talk about is your tweets, which are so true. They're just the truth. And I love this one that you wrote recently. Acceptance takes on the form of surrendering to what is. Surrendering takes strength and courage. Acceptance. That's a hard one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, I'll say, you know, almost all the tweets, other than when I'm, you know, personally commenting, are all tweets from the book. So those are all like a sentence or two, because, of course, it's 140 characters. These are all sentences or thoughts right out of the Seven Victories of the Divine Child. So that's encouraging that, you know, you find those, you know, helpful and thoughtful. But you're right. Acceptance maybe slightly more advanced, you know, because we have to grow into it because it's hard, you know. But once we learn it, it becomes easier. You know, it's really difficult initially. But what I'll say is, it doesn't mean we're passive. It doesn't mean we become a doormat. It doesn't mean, you know, we just let everything that happens in our life that, you know, we don't feel is for our best good, and we just say, oh, well. Acceptance is being able to allow resistance inside of you to not exist. So, you know, I heard this saying, and I wish I could give credit to it years ago, but it says, whatever we resist persists.
Oh, I said that.
You said that. Okay. Well, I heard it years ago too. So you're just smarter than I am. But anyway, whatever we resist persists, because, and I think of that energetically, you know, in our own bodies, in our own, you know, when we resist things, let's say something bad happens to us at work or in a relationship, and we hang on to it, and not only hang on to it, don't we do this? We replay it over and over. And you know, we have no problem hashing that one out from 360-degree angles. And, you know, and you know, when we replay it every time, it builds inside of us. It builds its energy, and then we're resistant to it. When really what acceptance is saying is, okay, this happened. Okay, it's now in the past because I'm talking about it already happened. It just is what it is. But now I can choose how to move forward. And in choosing how to move forward, we're empowered. You know, we're energized. We're not stuck in the past anymore, but we can choose either to do something, to not do anything. It's all about making a choice, but a lot of times our choice is rehashing. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And let me just add a couple of things. This accepting, this is my opinion. I was taught how not to accept. I was not born with the ability to, I was not born not accepting. And so anything that I was taught, I can unlearn. A child 2 years old accepts it all, whatever's in the room. You can name anything or any situation, and a two-year-old in a room is accepting it all. So that the beginning of that not accepting is a learned behavior. And so for me, I have to unlearn what I learned. And the second thing I want to say is, well, you're absolutely right with this going back and rehashing, and all of that is not living in the moment. If you're in the moment, you're not thinking about what happened 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago. So it's just the practice of living in the moment. And I want to share with you what my son came up with, my number one son, about how to live in the moment, which is such a great exercise. And he says, talking about using all of your senses, using your sense of sight, your sense of smell, your sense of touch, your sense of hearing. I don't know if there's another one, but your sense of sight, and then you just notice what's around. You just notice the colors. You notice the bookcase. You notice the window. You notice the trees. You notice the cars. You just practice noticing. And then you do that with your other senses, your sense of smell. You just, gee, what smells? And so that is one of the ways that I use right now to stay in the present moment. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think, what he's describing, he's really saying become a child.
Yes.
And you know, there's we all were children, obviously, we're here, and then we got this all, we got all wise and became adults. And you're right, we have to unlearn what we've learned. This used to be very natural for us, and then we got busy, life took hold, and situations and circumstances and hurts and pains happen along the way, and we become in this future-based, past-based orientation. And what your son's wisdom was speaking about is, this is what kids do, is they're aware of everything. They're checking out the colors, they're smelling stuff, they're feeling stuff, they're using their senses. And then I'll just add one to his list is then be able to begin to add in the non-physical senses, the intuition, the non-physical, non-five senses, and add in that sixth sense to allow yourself room to begin to be influenced by the divine, by what you said, the universe. We'll use whatever term you want to use, by infinite intelligence. Allow yourself to be open enough to listen.
I love adding that extra. I love it. And I like that. Like that, love that.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, you go.
Well, I was going to say, can I say something about this? You started by saying in the present moment, and there's so much truth to that, and there's so much written about, being in the moment and being present right now. But, I observe at least, I mean, partially for myself, but also for people I work with, this is a hard one. I mean, this one concept of being present is really challenging for a lot of people. And so I'll say that, there's two parts of us. There's this ego self, and the ego self can't pay attention in the present, doesn't want us to be in the present. And so therefore it's past-based and future-based orientation allows us to not stay where we are, and that is where the present moment. The mind's going back, the mind's projecting forward. And all that is a distraction. All of it is a complete, utter distraction for being in the present moment where you are, because where you are now is where life's happening. The divine presence is found in the present. It was in the past, but now that's past, and it will be in the future, but we're not in the future yet. So we need to stay where we are now. And in the Seven Victories of the Divine Child, there's two sections. One's called the fear-based thought system, and the second is its opposite, the love-based thought system. And this notion of acceptance we were just talking about and living in the present is in this love-based thought system. And the fear-based thought system is a little bit more in this past or future-based orientation. But this is a hard one for people. And I'll say one concept that is the beginning to be more present, and that concept is self-awareness.
Mm.
And self-awareness, and let me define that by saying I am aware of what I'm thinking and feeling in the moment.
Yes.
So if I catch myself, you know, this is really a part of catching oneself for a while until it's like a muscle, you know, until we exercise it enough to get better at having our present moment muscle strong, is we have to be aware.
That's
you know,
right.
Do I catch myself looping and projecting about all this stuff in the past? Do I catch myself, you know, creating all these, I call it mental gymnastics we go through about the future? If I catch myself doing those, then I can stop it, and I can center myself back to where I am. So that's my two cents on self-awareness.
Well, that was about 25 cents. you said so many great things. Yes, self-awareness, and what I say is you're either living consciously or unconsciously, but it's the same thing, being conscious. And
yep.
let me stand up and give everyone a standing ovation with the self-awareness, because ooh-wee, there's a lot of people that aren't very self-aware. I'm not saying anything's wrong with them. There's nothing not that there's anything wrong with that, but the self-awareness is huge, huge. And I'm just saying that because I lived the majority of my life not aware of anything. And so, yeah, it is huge. It is a beginning. I also want to say something about the present moment. And like you said, it is difficult or hard. One of the things I try not to do is put a label on anything, hard, difficult, good, bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to say it's just like you said, it's developing a muscle. It is challenging, and it's
mm-hmm.
developing a muscle, developing a new skill. If you're a dancer, you've got to practice dancing. If you're a singer, you got to practice singing. If you're a musician, you got to practice that oboe. So it's like anything else, the spiritual journey, the spiritual evolution, all it is just practicing, but having, wanting it, having the commitment, wanting it and committing to it and having it as a priority in my life, I have to say is really paying off, because I can feel the difference. My life is different than it used to be. Definitely.
I bet.
I want to say one more thing about this present moment, and this is a real life story that just happened a couple of days ago. I was driving. Did you hear the story, Michael?
No. Go ahead. I did. I don't remember right now.
Okay. I was driving 2 days ago, and I was on my phone. I was driving, and I was on my phone. I had the phone, the speaker was, you know, hands free, but it's still, I was on the phone. And I was at a stop light. The signal was red. And I was talking, I was chatting on the phone, and then I heard a horn honking. I looked over to my left, no one was there. Looked over to my right, there was this woman honking her horn, and she was honking her horn at me. And then she picked up an already made sign, a pre-made sign that said, and it was really nicely written, that said, "Hang up the phone and drive." So I looked at her and I smiled, but when she picked up that sign, I mean, she was really The energy, let me just say this. The energy wasn't happy energy, okay? It wasn't happy energy. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't happy. And she was like, hang up the phone and drive. I mean, a pre-made sign?
Yeah.
And I smiled at her. The light turned green, and I kept driving. Now, driving, I'm out of that moment. What she did, however, why she did it, for her whatever her reasons, because she's controlling. Did I say that out loud?
I think so.
Trying to control other people and tell them what to do. Hopefully I didn't say that out loud. But like you said, it's the next moment. I'm driving. Now I'm at a different place. Now I'm in a different area. Now I'm at another, you know, on another street. It's just moving on to the next moment and not bringing this lady's energy with me.
Well, yeah, think about that. It's a great example because there, at that moment, like you said, there's a lot of ways, you know, that could have caused one to react.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being able to pause, or like I think you said it beautifully, is going on to the next moment, you know, we all do things for our own reasons, and of course she had her own reasons for developing a sign and sharing it with you. And you know, and you know, the thing is, I'm trying to, you know, sometimes when I hear stories like this, I try to put myself there because I can feel it then and say, okay, well, you know, what I don't know is her journey. You know, it's about her journey. And you know, what if she had something happen that was, you know, relating, that was, you know, catastrophic or whatever, but was relating to someone being on the phone, let's say, because this is obviously important to her. Well, you know, I would see the situation totally different. And it's all about perspective, but I like what you said about it's the next moment. You know, I had a mentor say to me one time, Michael, you know, life is a sum total of our moment-to-moment decisions. Not day to day, not year to year, moment to moment.
That's right.
And I think you're right. You know, whether it's that example or all of us on the call could pick an example where there was a trigger, let's say an event, and it's not what happens to us. You see, it's how we respond to what happens to us that matters the most.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And what I've discovered is how I respond depends on whether or not I'm connected, whether or not I'm plugged in, whether or not I'm self-aware, whether or not I'm conscious. That is the determining factor how I respond. Because in that moment, oh my God, I was feeling so good. Excuse me, lady, but that's your thing. That's not my thing. And there are times where I'm self-aware and I know that something that my mother would say that I'm like, but it's not what she says. It's not what anyone says. It's how I'm feeling inside. It's not about what's happening to me. It's not about the circumstances. It's how I'm feeling inside. It always comes back to me.
Yes, that's so wise and so powerful for us to realize it is it has to do with us. You know, the event was the event, and in itself, it was neutral. Person held up a sign. Now, what happens next? What happens next is everything to do with perception and has to do with it, that event flowing through our own mental map and coming out in a response or not a response, you know, coming out in a reaction. And so the event was what it was. We give everything meaning. And, you know, if that happened to 10 people, 10 people would have gotten different meaning from it, but the meaning for them would have been what you just said, and that is what was going on, what's going on already with me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why you can't take anyone being angry personally. You really can't. It's not personal. Whatever's going on is going on with them. And I've let that go. It's not you, it's them. So,
yeah.
And then I just look and feel compassion. Well, you know what, let me strike that because that's not a universal term. Compassion, that's my opinion. But I do, like you said, you never know what's going on with them. You never know. You really don't know. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
So give me something like the story that I shared, or an example that real life story that, you know, you Michael K. Jones, Reverend Michael K. Jones, maybe sometimes are challenged with, or just everyday life. Can you share that with our audience just so they know that you're just like us?
I'm just like you, all right. But that's for sure. You know, well, here, this is a great example. You know,
perfect.
we have a member. This just happened. I mean, this is like 2 days ago. We have a member of our family that needs a medical home medical device, and so it has parts that have to be replaced like once a month, and so they wear out. And so this is fairly new, within the last 6 months. And so every time, I have three children, so I'm obviously the dad, and so I'm taking care of ordering this stuff. And every time I was getting an order, there was always a wrong part, like four times in a row. So this fourth time, I got the wrong part. So I call them in the morning and bless the dear lady's heart that picked up the phone, and she was very pleasant. And what she said to me, now I'll preface this by saying this is an extremely busy week. And so I didn't have time to run around and get it. You know, they send it in the mail. So she said, well, if you bring the part back, we'll send you the right one. And I said, well, you know, what you can do is send me the right one, like initially, and they just ask for a pickup of the other one, because I don't have time to – I can't get over there to your store and bring you the old part and – you know, it feels a little bit like you're asking me to be inconvenienced because, you know, the wrong part was sent. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, there's no way for us to assure that we'll send you the right part unless you bring it in. And I said, are you serious? You know, when I first ordered it, the right part was there. So I think you just look up a part number and you just match it. You know, I may be oversimplifying. I don't know. Anyway, I finally, you know, so that was, I would say, for a brief second or two, frustrating. And then I just had to laugh.
That's a perfect example. That's a reality spirituality every day. And then what happened?
So then I asked for someone in the respiratory area that could, you know, maybe be a little more knowledgeable. I quickly determined I was at a dead end on this particular part of the call. So when I got with someone that was, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable with the parts, well, you know, all of a sudden it wasn't me coming in. I would just put in a heading of what you would picture as good customer service and saying, oh, I'm sorry that we sent you the wrong one. We will overnight the right one today. And as a, you know, an apology for sending the wrong one, we'll send you an additional one complimentary.
Wow. Oh.
You know, what a change from you need to run over here and fix our problem to we made a mistake and we realized that and now we're sorry and we're going to make it up for you. That was great service. You know, I mean, that was just outstanding.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's in those moments when it's happening, you know, we may or may not get what we were after in case of service call in this example, but, you know, how are we treating people? How are we, you know, I have no idea. What if the person just that I first talked to started yesterday, you know, and then I would think differently about it. So I try not to get there because there's always more going on under the surface than I can see from above.
You know, it's interesting that you, we're a little bit different on this, because you, twice you said, what about the lady in the car? And maybe she had something with, in her life that, you know, tragedy with people driving and talking on the phone. And then now you said this lady on the phone. I'm just noticing a difference between your thought processes and my thought processes, because one of the things that I like to say, one of the things that I follow is I never let anyone, I mean, never, but my happiness formula, 1, 2, whatever formula it is, E plus Z equals happiness, whatever the formula is, it never includes anyone else. It never includes, it only includes me. But I understand, I totally get what you're saying. I like that you are expanding and being compassionate and feeling compassion for others and not really knowing what other people are going through. My challenge for me is, I love your example, my challenge for me is patience. That's my challenge, being patient with it all without getting that irritation or that frustration. So I know that's my thing, talking about people on the phone and calling, and then you get another country, and you know they have to give this long explanation of their customer. Hi, welcome to this. Can I have your name? And then you have to, you know, you listen to the whole speech. And my issue that I'm working on now is just being patient.
Yeah, you know, we all have those, you know, and it's not bad to be frustrated. I certainly don't want to paint that picture. I mean, I get frustrated. It's not bad to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad to experience and feel any of these, you know, these emotions. What I will say, as, you know, what I teach is, you know, how long are you staying there is the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard someone say, hey, you can visit Pity City, you just can't live there. So,
ooh, I like that.
Now, I think that's maybe only the first or second time I said that since I heard it, but it just made me think of that. And so it's okay to be angry. It's okay to get frustrated. It's okay to experience these things that are really just, all they are really taking our expectations and saying they weren't met. Whatever we made up with our expectations or some standard, it wasn't met. We made it up anyway to begin with. But that's really what frustration is, you know. Something didn't go our way, right?
Yes,
but how long
yes.
do we stay there? How long do we stay there? You know, do we allow that to, you know, just take over?
Mm-hmm.
Or can within a few minutes, you know, an hour, a day at the most or something, can we let go and say, you know, really, I'm hanging on to something that isn't a big deal, isn't a big deal.
I love that, and you're right, and I love, yes, there's nothing wrong with frustration, there's nothing wrong with that, but holding on to it, and I love, you can throw in, instead of saying pity, you can throw in anger, you can get angry, but you don't want to live there.
Right, you can visit any city, you know, fill in the blank, any city, you just can't live there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can visit angry city, you just can't live there, you can visit, you know, and then what happens over time, as you calm your own mind down, as you slow down. I was going to talk about slowing down, but I think we're close on time. But I was going to talk a lot about slowing down, because that's the biggest thing I see with people nowadays is life is so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their mind is going from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. And there's not much silence. In fact, some people are uncomfortable with silence. But just my you know, again, my two cents is to just slow down a little bit. You know, we all have all these roles and responsibilities we're playing in life, and they keep us busy, you know, all day. And if we, you know, you mentioned in your couple of shows and then today again about being connected. And let me say that it's really, really, really hard to be connected to the source, to be connected to the divine, to be connected to spirit when your mind is going 100 miles an hour nonstop all day long. To be connected is to slow down. To be connected is to take a breath, you know, and allow that influence to come in. It can't get through. It can't get through when we're going all the time, at least not as good as if we can slow down. So add a little silence, even if it's 5 minutes, a little quiet to our day, I think would go a long way.
Come on now, you're preaching to the choir over here. You're absolutely right. Slow down, silence. You said something else. What did you say? It was so good about slowing down. Yes, but yeah, I totally agree with that. One of the things, I just want to throw this out. We're going to have to just do another show, if you don't mind. We're just going to have to set up another part two, okay?
If that's all
right with you.
Sure, because did you say I scared all the callers off?
No, you didn't scare all the callers off. It's just that, there were a lot of callers, but they were just wanting to listen as opposed to ask questions. So that's good for the content. I love it. Expectations. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations subtract from happiness. All of the expectations. That's what I've discovered. The other thing, what did you say about slowing down and busy? Do you know how long it took this earth to form? 500 billion years? We can slow it down. It is just throwing a little, just do a little bit different than you did in this moment. Just be a little different than you were yesterday. So 5 minutes, 1 minute, you know where I do my meditating? In the shower or on the bus. I agree. Just becoming more. But you know what else I wanted to talk about? Yeah! We're running out of time. Yikes! We are running out of time. We only have 3 minutes left. So let me give it to you. You let my audience know where they can contact you, your book again, all of your information. Please share with my audience.
Sure. Thank you. The most information can be found on my website. It's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, K as in kite, Jones, all one word, michaelkjones.net. And my book, The Seven Victories of the Divine Child, Claiming Your Divine Inheritance, the information on the book is on the website. You can watch a video book trailer. It's available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any local bookstore. They can order it. There's reader reviews on there you can take a look at. And that's how you can connect with me as well. My email, there's a section just says connect, so I won't give the email address here because you can just hit the connect button and you can email or there's information on there from spiritual guidance coaching sessions to our Inner Light group, which is a monthly membership program for ongoing spiritual guidance and healing.
How wonderful. Well, I really enjoyed having you on the show, Michael. You are just so much great information. I love the way your book was written. I love the way your book was written. And just by your tweets, I love the book. Well, that's all we have time for today in today's show. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality with my guest, Michael K. Jones. And, you know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. If you like more information on the program that I offer, please visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And go to the private sessions tab. If you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, send an email to me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. My dear audience, I would like to remind you who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You are always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again next week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
Question for RLM.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers,
Reality,
baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're going to feel good now.
Get real.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.